Hello, and welcome to Life Lab. I'm David Ponder.
And I'm Zach Schaefer.
We created a candid podcast for busy people. We get right to the point of our topics, and we keep them to 30 minutes or less.
We wanted to put our ideas out there, share it with people we love, and if it spreads, great.
Our show has no edits and no gimmicks.
Like it or don't, we initially started this project for ourselves, to record our thoughts for our kids, but our friends and family thought we should share it, so here you go.
All right, so today we are talking about persistence, and this is a very important topic, I think, throughout people's lives, because if you can persist at something, your chances of success, I think, greatly increase at just about any activity that you do.
Yeah, even if it's bad activities, bad habits and That's patterns of behavior, like overconsumption of drinking drugs or food, if you're persistent at it, your life will absolutely increase in the opposite direction that you want it to.
It's really interesting that you brought that up, because when I was thinking about this topic and coming up with all of my notes, obviously I chose a thing like how to persist at something that is hard to persist at, where it's funny that you say that, because a lot of people are naturally persistent at things that are negative. And it's an interesting observation that many of the things in life that lead to negative consequences are easy to persist.
They're easy, and it's the immediate gratification, right? It's those things that we might think we're good at or think that bring us joy in the present, and we persistently pursue those activities, and over time it detracts from our ability to persistently pursue positive and productive goals in our life.
And like, just talking about from a philosophical perspective and pontificating a little bit too much, it's crazy. It's like life is set up like a game, right? Where the easy moves generally have a very short-term fleeting reward and negative long-term consequences. I'm sure if you like talked about it scientifically, it goes back to our evolution and
sure,
and things like that.
What makes me think of a phrase that I just made up, or maybe it exists, the paradox of persistence. We persistently pursue the easy goals, even though we might not be thinking through that we are. And oftentimes we don't pursue the goals that will bring us the greatest reward and success long term. Right? Where we should be persistent, we aren't. Where we shouldn't be persistent, we are.
That's interesting. I think that's our default mode.
Right.
I don't know if it's, you know, we could talk about causes, but it could be societal. It could be, you know, like I said, biological, driven by evolution, urges, things like that.
What was the first thing that you thought of? Because, again, for our listeners, we always do our notes separately. We tend to just pick a topic and say, okay, let's do 10 minutes of notes. We each jot down some notes, and then we just dive in. There's no our organization for this podcast is no organization. So the first thing you thought of, Dave, was what?
When we talked about, when you brought up the...
We're doing persistence. Where did your brain go?
Well, I went to things that make you uncomfortable and being good at being uncomfortable.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Well, and to extend on the beginning of our conversation, let's talk about the opposite of that, right? Comfort. What are some comforts that... It's easy to remain in a comfort zone if we can. Modern society allows us to do so. When we were talking about like how we've evolved and everything, like we started off as hunter-gatherers, right? So we would have to work all day for maybe some food, and that would be our reward. Then we, you know, became agricultural so that we had steady sources of food, and that increased our comfort level. And the same thing went with our habitats, for going from living in cave to cave as we were hunting and gathering to actually building places where we stayed because we were farming the land. You get what I'm saying. So we have become a civilization that has a lot of creature comforts. And like, I believe that that's a large part of that being our default mode. And it's easy to quote unquote persist at that default mode because it's comfortable. Whereas when you talk about persistence, where my mind goes is you want to be extraordinary. Ordinary people can be comfortable their entire lives and not achieve, not stand out, just go through life in a comfortable state. And so my mind immediately went to persistence is generally, to me, persisting at an activity that is difficult, mentally difficult, physically difficult. It's uncomfortable for some reason and generally yields a long-term gain of some kind.
Interesting. My mind immediately went to thinking about quality and quantity. And I often think that quality emerges from quantity. Doing something a lot will help you eventually create something that is excellent or has high qualities concerned with it.
I think those overlay, right? Quantity can be uncomfortable.
Well, it is uncomfortable, whether constantly it's running or doing coding iterations or being a painter. So obviously a lot of our topics tie into one another. I can't stand this myth that's out there of the creative genius having the moment of epiphany that pops in their head. Mm-hmm. That is complete bullshit. It doesn't ask any artist. Sure, they might want to propagate the myth that, oh, I'm this mythical creature that's just creative. Bullshit. Look at their floor. All the iterations of wood shavings or sketches they've gone through. You know, Edison went through 1,000 iterations of the light bulb. But we forget all that. Persistence is 90% sweat, 10% the idea that gets you going.
It's funny. We had just had an argument with one of our friends about what is more important, the idea. I think it was John Varaki.
JV.
And he made a good point, which is you have to build whatever effort on a solid foundation. So a good idea.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you and I both, Zach, who, I mean, we've dipped our toe in the water of large, ambitious projects that were founded on initially good ideas, but my gosh, we've come to the understanding, I think both of us, that execution, persistence is 90% or more.
Execution's 99%. Yeah. So I disagree with John, and I'm an idea person, right? He's much more creative. John, you're way more creative than me. So let's start there. However, you know, I do Evernote. I have lists and lists of business ideas and funny slogans that aren't connected, just all this creative stuff. But there's no execution behind any of it, right? It's just kind of out there, and it brings me joy in the moment, so I write these things down, and then I move on. A couple things that I wanted to mention is that nothing is more common than unsuccessful people with talent because they are not persistent. They don't create a goal. They don't doggedly pursue that goal in spite of obstacles. It also makes me think of Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way. Fantastic book, kind of a cult book among politicians and NFL coaches and superstar athletes. And then finally, unrewarded genius is a proverb. How many super smart people do we personally know who aren't doing shit with their life and aren't happy either?
Yeah, that's absolutely
right. Because
true.
They're not persistent.
That's true. It's interesting how, like, going back to the very beginning of our conversation, it's interesting how the default mode isn't rewarding. It really isn't. It's not rewarding in a long-term perspective. So, all right, you hit on a couple of things that I wanted to bring up, and they are, all right, let's say you want to be persistent. How do you do that? So number one, I think you have to define, you mentioned the word goal, right? So you have to have a valid goal, something that you're going after, right? So like, if we're tying this back to the beginning of the conversation, if I'm like, I want to gain 20 pounds, that's an easy goal, right? I just eat a bunch of donuts and pasta and sit around. You know, that's...
Supersize me.
Yeah, that's default mode. So you can't just set any goal. Generally, the goal has to be something that is extraordinary, hard to achieve, you know, yields what many people would, and yourself is the most important, consider to be positive long-term results, right?
Absolutely. So for anything I think we're going to discuss should start with the goal. You should always start with the end in mind. And even if it's not a SMART goal, right? Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-oriented. You don't have to get that robotic with your goals. But it needs to be something more concrete than just this abstract, I want to get in better shape, right? It needs to be better than that. And so I want to run a mile in 8 minutes, or I want to get down to 5% body fat, or, you know, those are pretty ambitious.
Well, no, I think it's important, those attributes that you just listed.
Right? I agree, but if you're a sloth on a couch, you can't just jump to that. You've got to take some baby steps.
But at least make it specific, measurable, and time-oriented. And achievable is the thing here, right? Like, well, the question is, what is achievable? And that's the point of persistence. With enough persistence, you know, just about anything should be achievable. So let's talk about, all right, so we've got our goal defined, right? Now, the next step, and I think this is very important, is how do you remain motivated? So how many of us feel, you know, have had the experience where we set a goal, right? New Year's resolution time. Everybody does it, right? The gym's packed with people. Everybody's got these things that they're going to do in the new year. And then a month later, I mean, it doesn't even take, it takes a month, basically. Everybody falls off, right? And for me, I think it oftentimes is a failure of setting the correct motivation. So what is your motivation? There's a great quote that I wanted to include in this episode by John O'Leary, who wrote a great book called On Fire that you guys should check out. But he basically says, once you have a why, you can accomplish any how. So...
yeah, it's the same thing. Not same thing, but Simon Sinek talks about find your why, the golden circle.
Sure.
The greatest leaders and companies of all time don't start with what and then how and then why. They start with why we're doing what we do. Here's how we do it. Here's what we're doing.
So think of all the like great stories through time, right? So what's the great revenge story? The Count of Monte Cristo. Think about his motivation, right? That's one that we can all relate with.
Right.
He wants revenge, and he has this plan, and he enacts this plan. You want to talk about persistent.
Right.
Years of vengeance enacted out. And, you know, it's a very satisfying end of the story, which speaks a little bit to human nature. And that's it's a negative connotation if you think about it on his persistence, but you can't deny.
Oh, of course.
It was persistent, and it was carried out through years of time. And
so you asked about the formula for persistence, and I just started, you got my brain turning, sure. and I now have my formula for how, if I want to pursue something persistently, here's how I think of it. And it is goal, Woody, coach, advertise, gift. So we've already talked about goal, Woody. Woody Allen has a quote that's something along the line, you know, the famous director, actor, writer. You should look him up if you don't know much about him, because he is one of the most prolific and persistent people in Hollywood of all time. He's a freak with how mechanical he was with his writing and directing. It was insane. Pumping out about a movie a year for decades. He said, 70% of success is just showing up to work. And so why I truly believe that is just show up. Just go somewhere. You don't know what's going to happen. Even if a great business leader recently said, talking about building networks for his company, even if our company is not involved with an event somewhere, we're going to be there just to have a presence, just so people were aware that we're somehow connected to this situation. Mm. That's Woody Allen. Third is coach.
And then Nike, right? Just do it.
Yeah, just do it. Hunter Thompson, you know, one of my heroes, so to speak. Buy the ticket, take the ride. Mm-hmm. The next one is coach. You're talking about motivation. You have to find someone to coach you. And you don't need to go buy a life coach, right? If you can afford it, do so, because they're great. Or a business coach. Or a fitness coach. Jeremy Jenin, Functional Fitness, STL. But find someone that will keep you motivated, will keep you honest, will keep you accountable, and will call you out on your bullshit. Fourth, advertise. You have to talk to people about your goal. You have to get it out there in public to people. Put it out on your Facebook, on your social networks. Because people don't pay attention, they remember the negative things much more easily than the positive. So you have to remind people when you're trying to be persistent, and they'll actually help you. Even if it's calling you out on something, view that as helping you. Because the last thing is what I call gift. And this is a little counterintuitive. You need to find the adversity, find the obstacles around the way, and reframe them in your mind as a gift. If your goal is to run 1 mile every day, you be thankful and grateful for the days that it's raining and get your ass out there and do it. Because as soon as you're done with that run and that next day it's not raining, you're going to be like, wow, this is way easier. And if you can reframe that obstacle or that adversity as a gift, which isn't easy, it will make the struggle seem less of a struggle.
Yes. Okay. So I will talk about my elements of becoming a persistent person. I think your framework overlays some of the things that I'm going to talk about, and yours is more specific to a specific situation. So you can take what Zach just said, rewind a few minutes, and start playing what Zach just said from the beginning, and you can apply it to any single situation that you want to be persistent at. The things that I'm going to talk about, I think, are how do you become better at being persistent as a person, as in a general term, so that when you do decide to take on a project, you can better enact Zach's framework. There is a little bit of overlap, but let me get into mine. So number one, define your goal. We talked about that. Number two, find your motivation. Once you find your why, you know you can achieve anyhow. We've gone over that. Number two, Zach just said this. The obstacle is the way. Get good at being uncomfortable. And so to me, that means do some ancillary activities that don't directly lead to the accomplishment of your goal, but make you a more persistent person through getting used to being uncomfortable. This is the old military.
Right. Two things that tie into this?
Yeah.
Warren Buffett, right? Him and Tony Robbins, they just had some LinkedIn article sharing how you get uncomfortable and how successful people think. Warren Buffett apparently was terrified of public speaking when he was younger than us, late 20s, was already successful. So what did he do? He went and enrolled in Dale Carnegie's public speaking class and mastered it and became great. Tony Robbins, you know, he's done a million things like that. Something that I've done, regular old Joe, average Zach, coding terrified me. And Dave's an IT professional. He's a coder. He's a consultant. So what did I do last summer? I went and enrolled in LaunchCode and took two different classes, got accepted and tested into a class to learn some coding for a variety of reasons. But it's just finding those areas, conquering a fear, setting a goal and getting after it.
That's great. It's like the opposite of letting fear control your life. So back to what I was saying, do some things that are ancillary to your goal. Zach's taking a coding class is a perfect example of that. Some of the things that I included were things that you can do on a daily basis. So physically, right? Exercise, like you said, get up and run. Get good at feeling physically uncomfortable. When you're running and it hurts and you really want to quit, that's when you have to push through. Like, make it to the point where it's uncomfortable and you still keep going. There's like a mental switch that you can, there's a mental muscle that you can build, that you can flex. When your body and that voice in your head is saying stop, you can say no, go. You know, I've learned a lot about that from my brother and him being in Navy Special Warfare. When he describes the way that he approaches physical activity, you know, he describes it by saying, I have to stay in the suck. And I'm like, okay, well, what's that mean? Like, obviously that's a term that you and your buddies use. And he's like, well, if it hurts, if it's sucking, that's where I want to be. That's my zone. And I was like, that's
Ooh,
interesting.
I love that
Talk about
phrase.
The obstacle is the way, right? Okay, so another thing that you could do is things like yoga, right? So yoga is a physical activity that takes persistence. If you've never done it, you don't think so.
Or Pilates.
Go do it, right? Like, it's holding a pose and just bearing through the pain.
Literally just shaking and
My
sweating.
And,
oh, boy. Yeah. Yoga's no joke.
Persistence. Something interesting. I've listened recently to a few scientists, doctors, who they're talking about these things called cold shock proteins and heat shock proteins in your body. But apparently, like, taking a cold shower in the morning is good for you. Like, if you can do that, it helps your body relieve inflammation and some other things like that. My gosh, you want to talk about something that's physically uncomfortable, like, that's been on my list to do, and I just can't make myself do it.
You shared that with me about a month ago, and so one thing I've been doing that I haven't told you, I just completely forgot, is when I do shower in the morning, which isn't all the time, I started by just doing 10 seconds at the end, and I'm up to about 30 seconds now.
Yes.
But I still won't do the whole shower.
I like it. No, I think that's the point, is to work.
First time, yeah. I probably didn't even get 10 seconds. I maybe only got 8, and it was just, I'm screaming. Kizzy's like, what's wrong?
I love that you told me that. Well,
I forgot to
tell
you.
We'll make
it
a challenge.
It's been a while.
We'll talk
okay.
back to each other.
I like it.
Okay. And then I put some mental things on here too, right? So meditation, the exercise and the yoga still have a mental component. Like I said, it's a mental muscle. But, you know, meditation or focusing when you're at work, overcoming the urge to, like, look at your phone or many of the, you know, things that modern day life bring to us. And then the other thing that I like about being uncomfortable is I'm talking about things that you do. How about things that you want to do and abstaining from them? So how about fasting? You want to eat. Fast in the morning, like, try to push your breakfast back to an uncomfortable time to where you're hungry and you still make the decision not to eat. Or, you know, if you want to change your diet and cut some sugar out of your diet, whatever it is, I think that there's those muscles go both ways and both of them need to be exercised. And then Sorry, I took a long time on being uncomfortable, but I think it's really important when we're talking about persistence. So let me hit the other things. I think that you have to, and this goes along with being uncomfortable, embrace the struggle. Embrace it, right? So we had a character, or we talked about building your character. We had an episode on becoming, and I think that you need to make this a part of your narrative. You will get better at persistence if you are confident in yourself being able to be persistent. And so by getting used to being uncomfortable, and not only that, by embracing that struggle and being like, well, that's the way that I am. It's native to me. I charge after things like that and I overcome. Make it a habit.
And by making it a habit, if you aren't a persistent person or setting a big goal scares you, find low risk opportunities to be persistent. Cut out the sugary bowl of cereal every day and replace it with fruit. Just find a low risk way so that you can simply, and the only goal of this is to prove to yourself you can be persistent on one action or area in your life. And if you do those in multiple low risk areas, you're just going to accumulate confidence in the fact that, holy cow, I can be persistent.
That's amazing how much one small thing, one small change per day is, it's a win, and it feels like a win. And it's crazy, the self-reward, it's a good feeling.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, when you realize that you did some hard things that day.
Marshall Goldsmith is the number one executive coach in the world. That is all he does, works with top executives to repair their interpersonal communication behaviors. That's it. He identifies 20 different negative behaviors. It's all communication related. And they pick one of those behaviors to work on. And what he's found, as long as they implement his system, he has a money back guarantee. He very highly paid, works for a year with these people, 12 to 18 months. And he says, you get your money back if you don't improve it, but you got to do the work. And how does he know if they do the work? He does 360-degree reviews. So he doesn't focus on that person. He talks to everyone that touches that person to see if they're improving. But what he's found is when he takes his pretest, you know, most of us out of those 20 behaviors probably do 7 to 10 we're offenders of. He only allows them to choose one behavior. And they try to find the most important one. But he's shown through his research and his clients that all those other behaviors magically begin to fix themselves when you pick just one.
Wow.
But if you try to improve multiple at the same time, nothing changes.
Wow. That's powerful.
It is.
That's some crazy.
And it's from his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Phenomenal read, especially for business people.
Okay. Then I'll touch on the last one of mine, and that is build your team. It's almost become common sense, but I think people really need to embrace it, that the people that you surround yourself with are going to influence the way that you achieve in life. And being persistent, if you surround yourself with persistent people and you see that character in them, it's almost like it will become innate in you.
Well, it ties back to our evolutionary nature of being competitive, I think, to a degree.
It does.
We want to compete. Everyone wants to compete.
Well, we were just talking about competing on the cold shower thing. You know,
absolutely.
That's a perfect example. Like, if I didn't have anyone in my life who thought that way, if I was surrounding myself by people who were comfort fiends, like, I would have no benchmark to test myself against.
This is so funny how life works. So we have a little accountability crew, if you will, where there's five or six of our friends on this app, and we can share our struggles, share our obstacles, share our small wins, seek advice, make fun of each other, all that good stuff. And one of our good buddies, Kelly Tompkins, just shared something yesterday that ties in to persistence. I won't read the whole list. It's a meme of 10 different ways to think positively, but I'll just share two. As you think, so shall you become. So if you think, I can't be consistent, I can't control this, I can't do that, you're right. You won't.
Yep.
Done. Attitude and mindset are the starting point.
Think positively. Yep.
And then the second one is very similar. Don't allow your thoughts to be on anything you don't want to be.
That's a powerful one.
Right.
I heard Tony Robbins describe it as, it's like when you're driving a car, you tend to steer toward what you're looking at.
Or think of motorcycle.
Motorcycle.
Right? If you're looking down, you're wrecking. You're looking up, and we both took the motorcycle rider safety class. You have to be constantly looking way up in the road.
You generally start to steer toward what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same sort of thing metaphorically in life. Whatever you focus on, you generally attract, or you're headed toward.
Another one on there was like attracts like.
Yeah, there we go. And it's interesting that Kelly posted that, and we're talking about it because we'd be remiss not to mention the incredible achievement that he just had through persistence.
Sure. So I don't think he'd mind us sharing this, but he had some health issues back in the day, and from those health issues, he had recently been diagnosed diabetic. And so, you know, as soon as he got that news, he's just like, well, what do I need to do to fix it? So he had to adjust his diet majorly, just like any diabetic would. But that is a very difficult thing to do for people. And not only did he do it, what is it? It's only been 8 or 9 months, maybe?
Yeah.
It's not even been close to a year. Not only did he do it, he has now not taken his insulin for a month and a half and had told his doctor his plan. And came in
and was taking his numbers.
And his numbers were consistently improving, and came in, and the doctor said he had never seen anyone in the history of his medical profession whose numbers rebounded so quickly. And that's not just because, oh, Kelly's lucky and has great genetics. It's because he persistently pursues his diet and his goals. And it's a fantastic story.
He embraced the struggle. He made it part of his day. That this is the way that I eat now. He just decided. There was a mental switch in his head that was like, okay, I just found out I'm diabetic. I do not eat that way anymore. This is the way. This is my new diet.
This is me.
I'm building
the guy that
my
when
character.
Me and him would go to Jack in the Box, you know, at 1 in the morning 10 years ago, we would eat $50 of Jack in the Box between the two of us. Is that an exaggeration?
No, that
I mean, we were disgusting.
It's gross.
We would get 12 egg omelets at Eat Right.
Yeah.
And this, you know, now when we do our mandates at Eckert's for breakfast every month, he doesn't touch the biscuit. You know, I mean, he's so disciplined. It's amazing.
That's persistence. That's embracing the struggle, and that's making it habit, building it into your character, making it a part of who you are, you know,
and also advertising it, right? Going back to kind of the process. He had to tell us, you know, guys, I'm doing this.
That's both advertising, know? Building your team.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. He had a bunch of coaches.
Yep.
So when we went to order stuff, you know, I made sure to not try to force different things on him. Like, oh, here, make sure you eat these buttery rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that I think completes my big picture of how you become persistent over a long period of time. To sort of quickly recap, define your goals, find your motivation. Get good at being uncomfortable. Think positively and build your self-confidence. Embrace the struggle. Make it a part of your character and set your expectations. That is your baseline, right? It's like, going back to the getting good at being uncomfortable thing, think of the opposite of that. Think of someone who is wealthy and their standard of living is a 5-star hotel. Think about how fragile their life situation is. If anything goes wrong financially or anything where they have to now adjust their standard of living to anything below a 5-star hotel, now all of a sudden they're uncomfortable. The better you are at being uncomfortable, the more good surprises, the more things that are above your baseline exist. It's almost like an upgrade to life becomes so much easier when you're good at being uncomfortable. So I really love that one.
I agree, but to be a bit of devil's advocate, our discomfort zones change over life.
No doubt. I'm not going to argue with that. But like when I was talking about getting good at being uncomfortable, I was saying there are things that are different than whatever your goals are that you can practice that make you good at being adaptable. How's that sound? Being an adaptable person.
I like adaptable.
So if you can deal with pain, struggle, discomfort on tasks that you do on a daily basis, then it will help you in any other area of your life if you are forced out of your comfort zone. How's that sound?
No, it's great. A second thing, though, I just realized we both took a singular focus on this. We talked about being persistent at the individual level. What about if you're a caretaker or a parent of a child? And then we're starting to talk about everything we just mentioned, and you're trying to parent toddlers or 7-year-olds or teenagers. This shit is way different then, man, in my opinion.
It's way different. The funny thing is the think positively still applies. Building
some,
your team,
some of
very
it still
important.
Applies, but.
But I mean, like the whole embracing the struggle and getting good at being uncomfortable, you don't even have to do that because your kids are going to make sure that you're uncomfortable.
Yeah, but you might not get good at it.
Well, you get like it's
you get lots of opportunities to be uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, let's talk about like the lack of sleep portion, right? So you have young kids, you get used to a lack of sleep because they're getting up in the middle of the night because they need to feed or go to the bathroom, and they just, you know, have a bad dream. So you get, but you get better at being sleep deprived. At least I did, you know, over time.
Well,
in the beginning, it was
always sleep deprived, so it's not a problem.
In the beginning, for me, it was a much harder shock than it became. Like I got better at it.
That's my point, is your discomfort zones change over time, right?
Sure.
So as soon as your kids aren't at that age, you're probably not going to try to just wake up in the middle of the night a bunch of times. You're going to enjoy.
No, but that goes back to my point of, but I'll still do physical things that keep me discomfort or uncomfortable, and I will do mental things that keep me uncomfortable so that if I develop something where, I don't know, I have loud neighbors who wake me up in the middle of the night or something, like ideally I would be better able to deal with that than if I were mentally weak, than
sure.
if I were physically weak.
I wasn't trying to have you argue with me on this.
Yeah, I know.
I was simply saying that we did this solely
from an adult
person. Here's how you're persistent. And to me, for me personally, this conversation would look quite different, not 100% different, if we were talking about it for caretaking for an elderly parent who's dying.
Does.
Or a child. Persistence to me is absolutely different in that context. So,
no,
but that's a whole nother episode.
It does. I just think, you know, I kind of think the framework still stays. It's just other things take bigger portions. So I talked about being uncomfortable a lot. In both of those situations, I don't think you have to proactively be uncomfortable. You will be uncomfortable in either of those
sure.
situations, so you don't have to focus on that. I think you have to focus more on the finding your motivation. What is your why, right? And so in both of those situations, I would say it's love.
Absolutely.
And you have to focus on that more. So
my Dave went over his sort of steps to become persistent. My persistence process is, again, define your goal, go Woody, find a coach, advertise your goal, and then truly try to reframe adversity as a gift. For those of you listening, try to ping us if you got caught my CNC Music Factory reference, because Dave did not catch that during that. That would be great if somebody could email or text us to find that reference. And we always, of course, end with change challenges. So my change challenge is this. If you're already a persistent person, kudos to you. You can do one of two things if you're already persistent. Set a big, hairy, audacious goal and begin the persistence process to try to achieve it. Because again, Mike Ditka reminds us the only kind of failure that exists in this world is not trying and not starting to achieve your goals. Two, if you don't believe you're a persistent person, find those low risk opportunities, those small habits, those small changes that you can begin to prove to yourself you can become persistent, because I promise you can.
My chain challenge has a little bit of overlap. I would say, you know, just to start flexing that muscle of becoming a more adaptable person and being more persistent in your ability to make uncomfortable choices. I would say, number one, add one thing to your day that's uncomfortable, whether that's running a mile or taking a cold shower or doing yoga for a half an hour a day, you know, doing some sort of a business development type activity, like reaching out to potential clients, cold calling, things that are, those are uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable things. Put one thing in your day, add it, that will, you know, achieve some sort of a positive outcome that you want, and just start to flex that muscle. And then on the flip side, identify one thing in your day, and Zach went over this, that is a negative, right? So you drink a can of soda a day, or you eat sugary cereal every day, something, you know, you typically drink a beer before you go to bed. Something that you know, if I quit doing that, my health, something would probably improve. And try and take that out of your day. So that's the daily one. Then on a longer term aspect, and this is a second change challenge, I really loved what you said about Marshall
Goldsmith.
Goldsmith. And I would say, try to make a list of negative behaviors that you notice in yourself. If you have to interview people, your closest people, do so. And then take one of them, rank them, and find the most important one, and work on fixing that. Work on fixing that negative behavior. And if Marshall Goldsmith's right, all the others will start to fall in line. I think that's a really, that would be an amazing change challenge. I'd love to hear from someone who does that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thanks for listening today. Hopefully you will continue to be persistent and listen with us as we roll out our episodes on a weekly basis. But just remember, experiment with life.
As we always say, experiment with life.